Know whom I have believed. And the title of today's short word is, it is not what you know, but who you know. You know, in the world we live in, connection is the most important thing for you to get through most of the things, red tapes and everything. But in the kingdom of God, it looks a little bit very streamlined, very straight-jacketed. You don't have too many options. And apparently, we skipped our scripture reading. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Shall we open our Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 1. We start reading from verse 3. The relationship between Paul and Timothy was a very interesting one. And this book was written when Paul was about to die. He was cold in prison in Rome. He was thinking back as if he has failed or maybe he has struggled. And really, many people, when they're writing this type of letter, is either they are filled with joy of accomplishment or with depression. That all that they have done probably has not amounted to anything. So, Paul was writing to Timothy. This is almost at the point of his death. And he wrote this letter. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I recall your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Louise, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am convinced and persuaded now lives also in you. For the reason I remind you to find to flame the gift of God in your life, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of fear, but of power, of the spirit of love, and of self-discipline. Verse 8. Be careful now, listen to this scripture. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord Jesus Christ, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. Apparently now Paul is a prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality through the gospel. So now where we're going. And of the gospel, I was appointed an herald, a preacher, an apostle, a teacher. And that is why I'm suffering. Yet, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What was Paul talking about here? It sounded cryptic. He has started saying, oh, Timothy, I know how you started faith. Your grandmother, your mother taught you, and I've seen that in you. I have seen the gift of God over your life because I myself laid hand upon you. I encourage you to fan to flame those gifts. And I want you to continue to preach the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. And don't be ashamed of me, your teacher. You know, because now I'm a prisoner. And he closed that piece with, I myself am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. In the world, scientists and the most renowned people, they are strong and they are bold only when they claim what they believed. Many people will respect you in this world because of what you are made up of. Many people will reckon with you because of what you know. But in God's principle, it is not what you know, But who?
You know.
So Paul here, bringing this to the front, I am not ashamed of being a prisoner, because I know whom I've believed. Now I throw that challenge to you today. Who do you believe? Many people believe in their church. Many people believe in their pastors. Many people believe in their general overseer or the bishop. Many people believe in their dads and their moms, their parents. Many people believe so much in their friends. Many people believe in their skill sets, their ability to solve problems. Many people believe in the network of friends you have to get you through all the situations of life. But you know, all these will never take you to eternity. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you are eternal life. I write this letter to you. This is John writing when towards the end of his own life too. I write this letter to you, those who have believed in the name of the Son of God, so that you may have this assurance that you have eternal life. Verse 14, this is the confidence. So once you believe, you have confidence. Once you believe, you will not be ashamed. It is not what you believe or what you know. It is who you know to make it to heaven. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Today is a quick exhortation so that we will have our confidence in the right place, in the right person, in the right authority. John chapter 14. I'll start reading from verse 1. The conversation in John chapter 14 is between Jesus and the disciples. Some of these disciples were the most practical disciples Jesus ever had. What I mean practical? I mean people that would challenge the authority even though they knew that he had authority. Many Christians don't really pay attention to them. Peter was one of them. Very rash, bold, strong, and everything. Other disciples that we know of, Thomas. Everybody looks at Thomas in the Bible. Oh yeah, that guy was a doubter. But he was a scientific person. He will never believe until he sees an observable evidence. So, he was talking to Jesus. Let's move right away. Jesus started speaking in John chapter 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms there. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to take you with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I'm going. That was like jumping to conclusion. He told them, I'm going to my Father's place, and I'm preparing a place for you, and also I'll come back to take you. And Jesus concluded with, you know the place. So everybody's like, seriously? Do we really know the place? Then verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. See, Jesus had very interesting disciples. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? I mean, if we don't know where you're going, how can we know how to get there? I love these people because they were real people. And Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my way, my Father as well. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. Before, they thought they understood the principles of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the doctrines of Jesus, all the things that he was doing. But Jesus said, oh, now I'm going. I know you already know the way. Not that fast, sir. We don't know. And if we don't know where you're going, we're never going to get there. Jesus said, I am the way. You will think that because they've been with Jesus for so long, their knowledge of Jesus should be qualification to get to where they should be. No, it is Jesus himself. Many times when we say that, oh, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus, you are not begging people to accept what you believe. You are giving them the clue to how they can make it to eternal life. Remember that 1 John 5 that we just read? It said, now you, those that believe in the name of the Son of God, I'm writing to you that you believe so that you may have eternal life. John chapter 1, also in verse 14, it says that, and this is eternal life. I think it's verse 16, 17 down the line, that we know the word. Who do you believe? I'm not saying who do you listen to. I'm not asking you which church you attend this morning. I'm asking you, who do you believe? And you know, belief translates to trust. And you can never believe until you hear somebody. You don't believe by hearsay. You believe by evidence. Somebody told you, and then you understand what they're saying, and then you trust in what they're saying, and then that translates to action. Who do you believe this morning? Many people believe in their physical Bible. I put Bible under my pillow, and devil comes, I will use my Bible as the pad or the baseball bat to kick the devil away. Deception. Devil is not a physical being. You must know who you believe. In fact, in Acts chapter 27, when Paul was being moved to Rome, there was a problem. There was a storm on the way. Acts chapter 27. And then for 13 days there was no daylight, because it was a transitioning period at that time, around September period. The weather was changing fast. There was kind of cloud in the sky. And verse 21. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice." He says, "But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Verse 23. "Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me." That is the angel of God that I serve and who I belong to. If you can never claim that you absolutely trust God and you know God, you are only relying on what you know to get to heaven. You are relying on connection to get to heaven. You are relying on remote anointing to get to heaven. Oh, well, once I go to the Holy Ghost service or Festival of Life or special convention, when they lay hands on everybody, I receive the power of God and I'll be great. You are not going to be great at anything. You're just going to receive the blessing that is immediate. One shocker that I found out in the Bible is no miracle is permanent. No miracle. Jesus raised the boy to life, the son of the widow, but the boy died afterwards. Lazarus was raised to life, he died afterwards. Every single miracle in the Bible, somehow they are transient. The only eternal thing that you can hold on, which is a miracle, is that of who you know, which is Jesus. It's never transient because it's eternal. So when you are seeking a quick win, microwave miracles, you know, just throw in the microwave to pop it, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. You are relying more on what you see and what you can get. But you must absolutely know whom you believe. In other words, when the information you get through whom you believe is not coming again, you can go back to the source and say, "Sir, I used to hear this thing, I'm not hearing anymore." When the signal that is bringing information to you stops, go back to the source. It is not what you know. There's a movie called Jacob's Radio. I don't know if you've seen it. It was a time of the old. I'm going to close in 2 minutes. And in that Cold War, this man had a small radio in the concentration camp for the Jews. He was the only one that had this small radio. He was the only one that could turn on the radio for like 2 minutes. He would listen to BBC or Voice of America. He would say, "The Germans are not coming. There's war. It's not moving anymore." He would turn it off. And he would come out the following day and say, "Don't worry, people. I understand what is going on. They are not going to fight today." Everybody's like, "How do you know that?" I said, "Don't worry. I just know." In fact, because everything he said was always true, everybody will be like, let Jacob come out this morning and we're going to know what's going to happen. They trusted so much in Jacob's radio. They've never seen it, but they believe in it because it has always worked. In other words, your faith will rest on human understanding if you have always had it and it's working. Oh yeah, they say we should pray, we are praying and it's working. They say we should fast, we are fasting, it's working. They say we should just come to church and give, we are giving, it's working. You are depending on Jacob's radio. One day, the armies came and they actually smashed Jacob's radio, but Jacob did not want to disappoint the people. So Jacob kept telling them stories. Oh, well, I heard music in this radio. And he said, tell us about the music. He will make the music and everything. This kept going on. People still believed in Jacob's radio. Long after Jacob's radio was gone. One day, somebody said, sir, Mr. Jacob, can we see the radio? The man is like, you can't. Because it's secret. It's behind curtains. He said, well, we don't want to even see this radio. We want to hear the radio. So he said, well, I'll give you a rare privilege of hearing the radio. And he said, but you can't see the radio. So some people came, elders, and they put cotton. And Jacob had to go and started making noise behind. Because their faith was so dependent on the information from the radio, they trusted him so much. But when the radio was gone, they did not know. Jacob, when he was lying there at Bethel, he said, God was here, but I didn't know it. If you know the God you serve, independent of whether there is physical radio or not, you will always have information from the source. The opposite of that was Samson. By the time the lady cut off the hair, he said, I will wake up again like I used to do. But he said, but God was no longer there. If your faith is absolutely resting on human idea or church experience, the wave of the church, you're going to absolutely miss God. God is always on time, in step. If you miss God, to catch up with God, it takes God. I don't want anybody here to let your faith rest in man. In fact, that was a warning from the apostles. Don't let your faith rest on man's idea. Not because the man can preach well, oh, the pastor is great, oh, whatever he says is wonderful and awesome, he speaks eloquently, trash. The only thing is your faith must rest in the Son of God. Paul said, I am an apostle called by God, ordained by God alone. Who do you trust this morning? If you trust any other thing other than the name of Jesus, you have trusted in error. Shall we rise to pray?